issues, etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. We're preparing for a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues, Etc. on November 2nd and 3rd, and we want to play your answer. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from, 618-223-8382. Issues, Etc. What does this mean?
I believe that life begins at conception. The only exception I have for to have an abortion is in that case of the life of the mother. I struggled with it myself for a long time, but I came to realize life is that gift from God, and I think even when life begins in that horrible situation of rape, that it is something that God intended to happen.
I don't know how these guys come up with these ideas. Let me make a very simple proposition. Rape is rape. It is a crime. And so these various distinctions about rape and don't make too much sense to me, don't make any sense to me.
That's Indiana Senate candidate Richard Murdoch and President Barack Obama talking about rape and abortion. Now, I wonder whether or not this would be the issue it is if we really understood what was at stake in the abortion debate. It's a matter of politics. It's now, I think, officially a political football for the 2012 presidential race. There's no doubt about it. Whether it's Richard Murdoch or Todd Akin, they're proxies for the Republican candidate too here. But what's at stake? We're talking about the unborn. We're talking about two diametrically opposed positions on whether the law should protect the unborn. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, October the 26th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse joins us to respond to some comments made by President Obama Wednesday on The Tonight Show about rape, abortion, and Planned Parenthood. That'll take up about the first half hour here. Then we're going to launch into the conclusion of Issues Etc. Reformation Week. The hymn, To Jordan Came the Christ Our Lord. We're looking at Martin Luther hymns all through this Reformation Week. Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. You can send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she is author of the book Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
What's your response to the president's comments after hearing what Richard Murdoch had to say about abortion and rape?
Well, I'll tell you, Todd, I'm really grateful that you're giving me a chance to talk about this, because this whole controversy that has been generated by Richard Murdoch and Todd Akin has really troubled me a lot. You know, they're politicians, and so is Barack Obama. They're politicians. They're not intellectuals. The vocation as a political person is a different vocation from the vocation of an intellectual. And I'm really glad that you're giving me the opportunity to kind of clarify what the issues are at stake here. Because when you're on the campaign trail, you know, a lot of times you can't pull your thoughts together in a coherent way, in a clear way to make the point that you're really trying to do. So I really appreciate you asking me about this issue. And as you know, I have cut and paste friends who follow me around too, who will certainly try to pull an adjective here and a word there to distort what I'm about to say. So I hope that all of your regular listeners to this program will be sure that they save the whole podcast and blast it all over the place. Everybody can hear the whole thing if they want to. But you know, there's something. These guys are trying to say something that is in fact correct, which is that every single person who is in existence on this planet, who has ever existed on this planet, every single person came into existence because God loved that person into existence. God wills the existence of every single person who has ever lived. And that's regardless of whatever kind of messed up or immoral or unworthy human participation may have been on the part of our parents, you know. So whether you're conceived in rape, as the case that everybody's talking about right now, or whether you're conceived in a drunken stupor in the back of a car, or whether you were conceived in a test tube through IVF, or whether you were conceived by a loving married couple who lived chastely until their wedding night and who loved each other as much as is humanly possible. It doesn't matter. And it's, of course, we all want to aspire to be the most loving that we can in the conception of our children. But the fact is, no matter how messed up we are, God's participation is always love. And so what that means to all of us, I think, is that every single person can take heart in that and take solace in that, knowing that God wills for us to exist, that God loved us into existence, regardless of how unworthy our parents may have been or not been. And so I think if you start from that premise, if you start from that position, I think a lot of things become, sort of fall into place and become more clear. That's the point to start. The point to start is not, where we seem to be starting the political discussion right now, but to start, where did we all come from? We all came because of human action and because of God's participation in human action. You know, it's God's the one doing all the work, and we have the privilege of participating in the creation of new life. That's a privilege that we have as husbands and wives, as men and women, and we abuse that privilege all the time, But the fact is, what God's trying to do is to love every one of us into existence. And I should also say that that's why Orthodox Christianity takes sexual sin so seriously, because our sexual activity has the potential to create human life. And so to do that in a way that is casual or in a way that is thoughtless or in a way that's not loving is to deface what God is trying to do in the earth, on the earth. And so that's the theological reason behind why Orthodox Christianity has always taken sexual sin so very, very seriously. It's not just the practical consequences, although there are many practical consequences of sexual sin, as you and I have talked about many times on this program, but it's also the theological reason that our Lord has invited us to participate in something sacred. And when we don't take that with the appropriate seriousness and do it with the appropriate love, that we're defacing ourselves and we're defacing God's image on the earth, and we're interfering with what God's trying to do rather than participating in it in an appropriate way. So that's where I would start with any of these discussions about the sanctity of human life. Each and every human life is in fact a gift from God, regardless of how it was conceived. God's participation is always that this life exists because I love this person. And I think we could all take solace in that.
I wonder what your thoughts are on the president, and he's quite right when he says rape is a crime, when he says this.
Of course it's a crime. I don't think this is in dispute. I certainly hope that's not in dispute. Rape is absolutely a crime.
He seems to imply that the criminal nature of rape somehow should be an obvious, even for a pro-lifer, should be an obvious exception to the pro-life standard.
See, that's the thing that doesn't follow. I mean, rape is a crime of a man against a woman, to then kill the child is an additional crime. That's the thing. And the testimony of people like Rebecca Kiesling, who were themselves conceived in rape, is a very powerful testimony, because it says, she has these advertisements of herself. Did I deserve the death penalty? Fact is, it wasn't her fault. It wasn't her fault. Why are we taking it out on the child? So in fact, the fact that rape is a crime, and properly a crime, doesn't follow from that what you should or should not do, what you're permitted or not permitted to do about the child that might be conceived. That's a whole other line of argument that you need to argue for rather than just blurt out as if it was self-evident. And the reason they think it's self-evident is because for the sexual revolutionary, the only thing that matters is consent, Todd. And so rape is a terrible crime because it's non-consensual. Well, that's obvious. Everybody agrees that rape is bad because it's non-consensual. But there's the further corollary, is that only things that are consensual are good. Everything that's consensual is good, including your decision as a woman to remove the fetus from your body. That's you refusing to give consent to the baby living in you or something, you know. So since that's the only criterion they have, that's why in their mind it follows automatically, you know, that if I didn't consent to have this baby, then I don't have to have the baby. But that doesn't work for us because we've got other criteria at work here. And, you know, and let me just say that if consent is the only criteria you've got, you really are not capable of doing any moral reasoning about the baby because the baby never gives consent, right? The baby is there completely non-consensual. You know, the baby's never consulted. None of us were consulted when we were born or about the circumstances of our birth or anything else. So consent doesn't buy you everything that you need to have in order to do moral reasoning about when is the right time for a baby to get born. You know, you've got to have something else besides consent. That's the point. And really, a lot of people like the president, like you know, some of the other people on you know, who support him so strongly. All those people cheering in the audience. It was revolting to me to hear all these women, these people cheering in the audience for what he was saying. They really have a one-track mind. The one track is consent. That's the only thing they can think about. And I think for a Christian, consent is very important. But there are other criteria that you have to bring to bear for the case of the child, for the situation of the child, because the child can't give consent. And yet, we think that the child is also a gift from God and is a moral agent and has moral standing. That's, I think, you know, in a sense, the heart of the whole whole issue.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is our guest. When we come back, we will hear more from the president and his comments on Wednesday night on The Tonight Show about abortion and rape. He'll go on to talk about politicians' rights to speak on this issue, especially if they're men, and the war on women, and then perpetuating some misconceptions about what kind of services Planned Parenthood does actually, or doesn't in this case, actually offer women. It's Friday, October the 26th. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California, and author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Stay tuned.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Hi, this is Jonathan Collin from France.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
First, I would like to say thank you very much for your program. It very much ministers to those of us who are outside the comforts and the luxuries of having a confessional Lutheran congregation nearby. Thank you very much for this great resource.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org. Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org and click Listen On Demand.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Well, Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Friday afternoon, October the 26th. We're responding to some comments made by President Obama Wednesday on The Tonight Show about rape, abortion, and Planned Parenthood. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is our guest. Jennifer, here's something that the president had to say on The Tonight Show Wednesday. He's picking up with the theme of the war on women.
This is exactly why you don't want a bunch of politicians, mostly male, making decisions about women's health care decisions. Women are capable of making these decisions in consultation with their partners, with their doctors, and you know, for politicians to want to intrude in this stuff, oftentimes without any information, is a huge problem. And this is obviously a part of what's at stake in this election. You've got a Supreme Court that, you know, typically a president is going to have probably another couple of appointments during the course of his term. And you know, Roe versus Wade is probably hanging in the balance.
What is your thought there, Jennifer, as you listen to the president talk?
Well, honestly, he's recycling a lot of 1980s abortion cliches there. I've never heard anybody emit so many cliches per sentence as he's doing. I wonder if it's painful to emit cliches that fast. I mean, honestly, he's stuck back in the 20th century. I don't know what his problem is. I mean, look, the reality is that men are, in fact, involved in the abortion decision. In many cases, it's the men who are pressuring women to have abortions because it's more convenient for the man than for him to be paying child support or getting married to the woman, for him to be taking responsibility as a father. Abortion lets abusive men off the hook. And that is what this, that has become very clear in the recent years. It's become clear that that Planned Parenthood itself actually gives aid and comfort and cover for statutory rapists. They don't necessarily report people. And we just hear too many of these stories where women are being pressured by men to get rid of babies as the price of either staying in a relationship with them or the price of support or whatever it might be. A lot of women feel pressured to have abortions because of the men. So the story that Obama is telling is a story you could tell back in 1975 before very many women had abortions. But now, after 50 million abortions, there's more than one story out there. And one of the stories that's out there is women being pressured into doing something that they don't really want, namely killing their own baby because of pressure from their boyfriend who wants to be, you know, who wants sex but who doesn't want the responsibilities associated with sex. So this is a really, you know, kind of a 1980s thing for him to be saying, honestly.
When he says that this is a decision women are capable of making, he seems to be implying that those who oppose abortion, especially male politicians who oppose abortion, as he says, with very little information, do not believe that women are capable of making that decision.
Well, capable of making what decision? I mean, that turn of phrase obscures the whole moral debate. You know, it's like saying, I'm capable of making the decision. I can't even speak it out loud what he's trying to say. He's assuming the very thing that needs to be proven here, Todd. He's assuming that the choice to kill innocent human life in the womb is ever a valid choice. It is not a valid choice. It's not about whether the woman chooses rightly or wrongly, whether the woman should be trusted or not trusted. That's not the issue. The issue is, can we create a society in which women feel supported in carrying their babies to term so that they don't feel that they're backed into the corner of having to kill their baby or keep their jobs? You know, that's what the issue is. When you have 50 million abortions, it's not people, you know, making bad decisions. You've got a systemic problem that is pushing women towards, number one, having sex in context can't support a baby, and number two, pushing her to see abortion as the solution rather than giving birth to the baby and taking care of the baby. That combination of things is what Obama and his supporters have been promoting. It's not like there's some neutral playing field out there, and women just happen to be choosing the wrong things or the right things or whatever. They have tilted the playing field in favor of people having sex in situations that can't support a pregnancy, and then tilted the playing field in favor of, oh, you can participate in the modern workforce, you can participate in higher education, as long as you agree to get rid of any of these babies that happen to show up in your womb. That's the deal that he's offering women. And so, you know, to act like that he's supporting women and other people are not supporting women. No, he's supporting a certain kind of woman. He's supporting a certain kind of man. But there are men and women both on the pro-life side. There are men and women both on the pro-marriage side. And he's against them. He is actively fighting against the interests of some women who define their interests a different way than he does. And all of his rhetoric and all of that cheering in the audience is designed to keep anybody from thinking about the fact or noticing the fact that there are other women with other values besides the one that he's cheering for. And that's, I think, the real war on women. He's warring against women who want to keep their babies, and there's just no two ways about it. That's what he's doing.
Jennifer, you mentioned Planned Parenthood, and Wednesday night on The Tonight Show, so did the president.
You've got issues like Planned Parenthood, where that organization provides millions of women, cervical cancer screenings, mammograms, all kinds of basic health care.
Right.
And so I think it's really important for us to understand that women are capable of making these decisions and that these are not just women's issues. These are family issues.
Right.
Because, you know, women are half the...
Right, sure.
Women are bringing in half the, you know, half the income in a lot of households, and it's really important.
So what's the president saying there?
Okay, you know, look. First of all, Planned Parenthood does not provide mammograms. Last week, some wag put on Facebook, everybody, let's call Planned Parenthood and schedule an appointment for a mammogram. And so I did that, and my staff did that. We all picked up the phone and called local Planned Parenthood and said, I'd like to come in for a mammogram. And we were told, everybody across the country was told, we don't do mammograms at Planned Parenthood. We do breast exams, and then we will refer you out for a mammogram. And I said to myself, you know what? I can do a breast exam myself. I do one every month in the shower. I don't need to go to Planned Parenthood for a breast exam. What are you talking about, you know? So for him to say that, first of all, it's simply not true. It is well known that it is not true. Planned Parenthood does not provide mammograms, period. There's no, that is a pointless lie. He should not be saying that. If he doesn't know that by now, he needs some help with his campaign or whatever, because everybody now, anybody who's paying attention now knows that that isn't true. But the second thing that he's doing, really, is he's using this claim of preventive health care as a cover for what really and truly is going on at Planned Parenthood, which is that they're the largest single abortion provider in the country. You can get mammograms and cervical cancer screenings and a whole lot of other things at public health organizations and private health organizations that do not provide abortions. It's ridiculous for him to talk like that, as if the only way we could deliver those health care services is to pump money into the largest abortion provider in the country. What is he even talking about? It's quite clear, and that quotation illustrates it, that he is using those services as a cover to distract attention from the fact that Planned Parenthood's main business is abortion. And that's why Planned Parenthood is objectionable. Nobody objects to Planned Parenthood doing cervical cancer screenings. We just think we can get those someplace else without financing abortions, period.
With only 30 seconds here, Jennifer, politicians, when they're supported by some industry, often will go down and appear on the factory floor, you know, the auto industry, plane industry. Why doesn't President Obama go down to the factory floor of one of his major supporters, Planned Parenthood, where they do what they do? Why doesn't he have a photo op where in one of the rooms where Planned Parenthood makes its money, the money they give him? 30 seconds.
Todd, don't give them any ideas, okay? We don't want him to go and do a photo op inside the abortion clinic itself. But he does show up at their fundraisers. I think he shows up at their fundraisers. They're certainly cozy about this, and members of his administration certainly speak out on behalf of Planned Parenthood pretty regularly. They're a major contributor. And if he were to show up at where they're actually performing an abortion, it would be just one more stage in the callousness and the hardening of the heart of America. So I hope that he is calculating that it's not a good thing for him to do that, and I hope that he's right that it's not a good thing for him to do that.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. You can find out more about the Ruth Institute at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thanks, Todd.
1 week from today, I'm trying to catch up on my sleep because 1 week from today, we are going to kick off Issues Etc. 24. It is what it sounds like. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. And we want your answer to this question for that broadcast. Issues Etc., what does this mean? Now, you can give your answer to us at the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Your answer could be short, it can be long, it can be involved, it can be simple. Your answer to the question, Issues Etc., what does this mean? We'll be playing those answers during our live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. 24 with the best guests, best topics, covering all of the, well, the whole doctrine of Christian theology in 24 hours. And we start Friday, November the 2nd at 3 p.m. Central, and we will go live and uninterrupted with the best theology on the radio here on Issues Etc. for 24 hours until 3 o'clock Saturday on November the 3rd. Coming up, your answer to that question, Issues Etc., what does this mean? 618-223-8382. When we come back, we're going to round off this Issues Etc. Reformation Week studying the hymn To Jordan Came the Christ Our Lord with Dr. Arthur Just. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado. Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Duluth, Minnesota would like to invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 9:30. Whether you are visiting our beautiful city or live here, we have liturgical worship that shares Jesus with you. We're easy to find at 20th Avenue East and Superior Street, and also offer Bible classes at 8:25 Sunday mornings with Sunday school September through May. Check out our website for other Bible study times, visit or call 218-724-2500.
An umbilical cord of biblical truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the national radio show The White Horse Inn, on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. presents Jesus Christ and His saving work out of the text of the Bible. The teaching of Christ alone is the driving force of this program. It deals with the important issues of our time with carefully chosen guests and hosts who are knowledgeable in the scriptures, history, and their application. On Issues Etc., you will not hear pop evangelicalism, but confessional Lutheran theology fluently presented.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. A Voice in the Wilderness of American Evangelicalism, Issues Etc. Thanks for your support.